Mazda. Get an end of financial year bonus on Mazda BT50.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Ow! I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
Look away now. Close your ears.
Put moron number two on the phone.
This is the day we're only just going to get through.
What the hell is wrong with you two?
I feel good.
Oh, we feel very good. Why wouldn't we? When you're absolutely at the top of your game, you should feel good about yourself.
Spot on.
Speaking of which, Chris Jardine next.
Oh,
the superstar, of course, two-time Brownlow medalist and all the rest of it.
Is he at top of his game, Jim?
Tip-top.
In the hosting?
Well, we're going to get to that shortly. Cam White is going to be joining us as well. Cool. Six-time Sheffield Shield winning cricketer.
And looking for a club
or
a team.
We're going to find out exactly where Whitey's at. Anyone that plays for that long and averages around 40, been an elite cricketer, if you can achieve that.
No.
And then later on, a very interesting man that we're going to speak to.
Who?
Dr. Martin Rice.
Because
we're going to get to the bottom of climate change.
Oh, brown rice.
Is it a scaremongering bullshlarkin?
No, Jim.
Or is it legitimate?
Legit.
No, I'm not asking you.
Well, I can tell you.
There wouldn't be a man who knew less about it than you.
The extreme weather conditions tell me something.
Maybe only Rabs. What we're going to do is speak to Dr. Martin Rice and find out what he thinks. Anyway, hello to you, Fat.
G'day, Jimmy boy. G'day, listeners. G'day to you, Rabs.
Seabus Super Special Comments, Lane Carey and Bill Brownless. And there they were. Thank you.
Come on, Fat.
There wasn't that long ago.
You're better than
that. I tell you what. What do you call that?
You're better than that.
Uneducated.
Bad special comments, I'd call that.
No, it wasn't. And Seabus love it.
Yeah,
they love it.
That's what they paid for. Just the silence.
Anyway, I got some news for
you.
Go
on then.
Jordan Dugowie is in doubt for the clash against St Kilda on Saturday. We're doing that game, Collingwood St Kilda, Triple MCG.
Mm-hmm.
The 11th place Essendon take on the 18th place. That was last week, what he went with.
What are you on about?
No, St Kilda Collingwood.
Yes.
That's what Juddy went with last week. Mason Cox already ruled out.
Oh.
Already ruled. That's 3 weeks in a row, Jim.
Out him.
Watch on that one.
Mm. Cox thank out. You, Bill. Yeah, 3 weeks. We can watch, yeah. You think longer?
Well, it's been interesting. It was only a little ankle, and this is the third week.
Right.
A bit like our man up in Sydney, Buddy.
Mm.
This is the third week. He's out with that hammy too.
Yes.
Because I can... Oh, Rick, I'm on here. Trent Cotchin is expected to sit out another 3 weeks, Jim.
Three.
So he has
missed a lot.
Well, he's missed a bit, hasn't he? So he's obviously nicked that hammy again. So he's out for another 3 weeks. Sam Menengola is out. He had surgery on the knee today. Good man. Mumford back and Lockie Whitfield back for...
Ooh.
They need them too, don't they?
They bounce back.
They do.
They were very poxy.
Dan Hennebury has joined...
They're playing Juddy's mob. We'll find out what he thinks is going to happen then.
Right. Dan Hennebury has joined the main training session.
Good.
Or group with the Saints. So that is good news, Jim.
Nice.
Some other sports. B-ball. We got the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yes.
The Bucks defeated... Oh, hang on. We just close your ears.
Close your ears. So he's already given the result away, and now you're doing a spoiler alert.
A spoiler alert, Jim.
What are we doing?
The Bucks have defeated the Raptors. Easy. 108-100 in game one. So that's one.
That's not really easy.
That's easy. They just did it easy, Jim. Cricket. The Australian squad has landed in London.
Yes, they've been in Gallipoli.
They have. 4 days there.
Yep.
And they went the back doorway, Jim, at Heathrow.
Oh, hello.
To avoid media attention.
I see.
Jimmy boy.
Right.
And already the English sports writers are into the Aussies already, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
And he writes for The Sun. So that'd be a big paper over there, I assume, with the biggest one.
Tabloid.
Tabloid, righto.
Page 3.
You know what he said? Oh, they've still got... Samantha Fox in that, page 3.
Well, I don't reckon it'd be Sam Fox. She was doing her best work in the 80s.
I'd like to see her now.
Sure. She's still fronting up.
I shot her in the foot the other day.
Thank you, Bill. No, thanks.
Another little gag, Juddy.
Yeah, I know.
But he did say, Jim, he's looking forward to the World Cup. Followed by a home Ashes against a band of cheating Aussies preparing for the sledging of their lives. So they're just going to get sledged from day one. Day one over there. And Nick Kyrgios has slammed number one Novak Djokovic. He said he's just cringeworthy and he's got a sick obsession with wanting to be liked. He also said he doesn't like the game of tennis. And if he would have had a go, he would have won 2 Grand Slams.
Bill.
He said, I'm just taking the PISS out of the sport.
Ah, there we are. Hmm. And everyone's enjoying his work in the process. I tell you what I've got here, Bill.
What do you got?
Just a little message for our soap dodging mates.
Yes.
The old to and froms.
Yes.
Just as we go into this tournament.
Good. Get in.
I'm having a look at the list of winners.
Yeah.
And I see Australia parked comfortably on top with five.
Five World Cups.
Five World Cup victories.
Wow.
And five makes 10 in my book.
There's
five. Mm-hmm. The West Indies and India next with two apiece.
And
then you're down to Pakistan and Sri Lanka sort of, you know, back end.
But the soap?
Not a.
Haven't they won one?
Not a victory. Oh. They've been in the final three times and lost all of them, just good. Choked hard down on the bloody gas bottle and lost all of them, but have never won one, and we are parked on five. So to all the smart-ass Parkeroon soap-dodging journalists from The Sun or any Guardian or anyone else over there, how's it going to get stuffed sound?
Well, stand by, Jim, because we're going to cop it. They're going to get into the Aussies.
I reckon we're going to make it six, and there'd be no sweeter thing than that.
To beat the Poms, too.
That's it. Over
that'd
there.
Be nice.
Oh, yep. Bill, please. Dad. It's like the World Cup and the soccer for them.
Can they win it? The
it's like kryptonite. It's like Elm Street. As soon as the World Cup comes around, they just latch onto the gas bottle and just take it all in.
All grand finals, Jim.
Oh, no, Bill. Mm. Well, you.
Yeah.
Now, Bill,
yes.
We need to get, speaking of grand finals, who was involved in two of the all-time great grand finals and greeted the judges in one of them.
Only one. Yeah. You're not on yet.
Shut up.
Oh, Cardigan.
Get to you next, Juddy.
See, Judd, three votes.
Oh, there.
I'll tell you what we're doing here. We don't normally have an opener.
No, we don't.
Because he's a regular.
Yeah.
Like we used to. And
it went
for bloody ever and all the stuff was included in there, so we can that. But now we're bringing the opener back out of absolute respect.
Yep.
Oh, welcome to Triple M Footy at the Triple M SCG, brought to you by McDonald's. We've got an absolutely huge night tonight. We've got Essendon coming in at 11th place, taking on the last place Sydney Swans. Couple of big ins and outs, the biggest one of them, Joe Danaher. But before I go any further, I'm going to get to you, Tom Brown.
Oh, straight to Tom Brown.
Straight to the journo, off the top.
You get no thanks here, JB. You jump on a grenade. I was the only bastard that was actually up there. You jump on the grenade, then you cop it all work, Bill.
Fair enough, too.
You know the worrying thing about that?
What?
In my head at the time, I actually thought that was coming out pretty good. I thought, I'm nailing this.
What I loved about it is I think it was the karma train rolling over you, because you don't go anywhere else.
Right.
You only go to Sydney because you go to Fred's in Paddington and have a long lunch.
Yep.
So now when you turn up and the other boys got held up, you actually had to do that, and I actually found that quite humorous.
The boys eventually got there. I was sweating. Yeah. You could see the pit mark under my T-shirt. Tommy Brown had given me nothing. You know the other thing that was a big issue was?
Yes.
Obviously, you could probably tell, I've never actually hosted a show before, JB.
I could
Once
tell
you
that.
Start hosting, it's very hard to then switch roles with Tommy Brown and unhost.
No, exactly.
So it's almost like I was interviewing Tom Brown, which is, that's not my natural habitat either, JB.
No, people out there don't realise how hard it is. The setup, and you've got to sell the show. It's easy being the second and third banana.
Well, there's a lot of waffling, let's be honest. Yeah. But I like to come in, make a couple of strong points, then get at it.
When you host like I do here with Jim, it is bloody hard. Like it is. People don't. You got to give the sponsors a mention.
I got the sponsors, the Triple M SCG. Don't worry about that. And
McDonald's.
Got McDonald's in there. Very commercial.
Absolutely love it.
It is difficult to do that.
I'm glad to see everyone got some joy out of it.
Yeah, we did.
Bill stumbled across a podcast you're doing.
Oh, good.
I think it's right in his sweet spot.
Jim, I listened for 3 seconds.
It's Masters of the Market, Bill. It's not out yet, so it'll be out in a month, Bill, but working hard on it at the minute.
CPIs and fading. What is that? May the most boring podcast could be ever. What are you doing?
Well, they might talk about your silver investment, Bill, which is close to your heart. I'm going around and interviewing leading fund managers around Australia. So it's something I'm enjoying. You're right, it may not be quite for the mass market, but I'm doing it anyway.
What do you interview them? You ask them what? How they got to where they are, or what do they look
how
at?
How they got into investing, what their investment style is, what their investment process is, psychology investing, how do they handle a big win, Bill? All those sorts of things. Like macroeconomic view, interesting things happening over in the States at the minute. Why are China and Russia buying so much gold, for instance, Bill? These are all questions we need answered.
I did tell you, silver and gold to follow. I did tell you that.
Very good. Now, if we can wind the clock back a couple of weeks, it must have been disappointing for you that the Brayshaw-Judd Cup was over at about the four-minute mark.
That's the one we wanted.
I know.
That's the silverware we wanted.
It was built up as the game of the year, and what happened?
I think the pressure got to the place.
I think it must have.
They knew that what was at stake?
They were playing for the all-time great, and really, they didn't do much for you.
They came up short. You can read into that what you like, JB, but they were much better last week.
No, they were, and that was that was a ripping game of footy, actually.
It was a good game of footy, and we've got to be cautious not to celebrate it because it's another loss that's stacked up in the loss column, and that's fair enough, but there was a bit to like. Some of the young players look good, and you leave a game like that, there's really no players, you get that feeling in your stomach where you feel that they didn't crack in or they didn't try.
That's
really what you ask for at this stage of our development.
Do you do a Jimmy Bartel the week before? Like, he had a fair crack at the Giants, and he's the same. He's the equivalent to the Giants as you are to Carlton. Would you do that in public?
No, not at this stage. I mean, if you look at our footy club, we're a big four club that we got a line a mile long of people lining up to whack us, and when you won 4 out of 40 games, that's what happens. So it's not something I'll be looking to do. I'll be there to support our players publicly, Bill. But Jimmy was nice and hard, wasn't he? So that's his style, and good for him.
And speaking of him, are you playing their mob Sunday?
We are. So that's all they've got Whitfield and Mumford back, particularly, both of them. But I think Whitfield's as good a player as anyone in the comp.
Well, certainly in that part of the ground,
isn't he?
Absolutely.
He's just elite with his ball use. And Jeremy Cameron was a bit off last weekend, so hopefully he doesn't get too much supply. But another good challenge for us.
Up at Spotless, yes, that'll be a tough one. And Mummy's, I tell you who's going well. We spoke about him before, the big Cruz. You need him, don't you? He's a very important player.
Yeah, well, Cripps is our best player, clearly. But Cruz is almost our most important because he just pressures so much around the footy, has a really big impact around those clearances. So the support he gives, funnily enough, to Cripps, not just from his tap work, but the hustling and bustling inside is invaluable to us as well.
Now, Bill, I have on my journey to work to drive past a street in a very affluent suburb along the beach.
Affluent.
And I know the street. Well, I know it anyway, but I know it lately because there's been a person with a sign saying stop.
Stop, go.
While four or five trucks have been exiting this street.
Oh, no.
Huge, great, big, as Sam would say, pantechnicons. And they could only be servicing one house.
Mm. And it's coming along well, to be honest. And I know what you're thinking.
30 cars behind me all stopped.
I know what you're thinking. You're thinking nobody deserves it more. Yeah. And I'm happy to stop. I'm happy to stop for Chris and Beck to get the house that they deserve.
Chris and Beck.
And the house of their dreams. So I was actually there this morning. Oh. And it is coming up a treat, Bill.
That's been a couple of years, hasn't it?
We started in December. So we should be in sort of September, October. It's been the Mrs. Project, in fairness, Bill. She's done all the heavy lifting on that.
Has she gone over budget where you just had to pull her back a bit?
She's gone significantly over the initial budget she was set, but once everything was costed up, she's been very, very good on the spreadsheet, Beck. So she's she's been.
So it's a nice, very nice property.
If you can get anywhere near it, Bill.
Yeah,
at the moment, you can't for the trucks.
Well, I'll tell you who will get near it. The Friday Hub.
Well, we're going to get to that next because I understand another one of those is coming up this Friday. Chris Judd's here, of course, and we are going to get straight to Damien Barrett because a massive story has just broken out of the Western Bulldogs. Damo, welcome.
G'day, Jim. It has taken the footy world by surprises, hasn't it? He's only 23 years of age, and as of this week, as of Monday, as we've been told now, that he made the decision to go to the Bulldogs with his manager, Liam Pickering, to formulate the plan around him exiting the game today.
Tom Boyd we're talking about, and he has said here that the physical and emotional toll of AFL footy has led to his decision to immediately retire from the game, Damo.
Yeah, Jim, and that emotional toll refers to the mental health situation that he's been quite public about now for some time and has carried with him, if we listen to what he's been saying now, pretty much ever since he entered the AFL system back as a GWS player all that time ago, and obviously came to the Bulldogs, performed unbelievably well, didn't he, in that premiership winning year, including the grand final itself, where he may well have been the Norm Smith medalist in some people's eyes. But at 23, to think it's all over after just 61 games, it's a sad football story too, isn't it?
No, it is. So what does this mean for them? How do they, I know we've got a mid-year draft coming up, so that will help, I guess, with that. But how do they do, you know, salary handling and all that sort of stuff?
Well, the release itself, Jim, and we're just sort of wading through this now as we speak, because they have released it off their own platform, and they have said that the wage that he was guaranteed for 2019 has been dramatically reduced, and effectively the money's owed to him in 2020 and 21 will not be received by Tom Boyd. So you need to get my head totally around that before you delve any deeper into it. That's what the release says today on the Western Bulldogs platform. And look, just while I read this, salary cap ramifications in terms of the big picture stuff would still have to be factored in on their books. I would think similar to what the AFL has said with regards to Buddy Franklin's deal with the Sydney Swans.
Okay, but if he's actually retired and off the list, and we're saying all this with the greatest respect for Tom, and we hope he's in a great place, yeah. And it is a sad story, so I don't want anyone thinking we've immediately moved on, but what with 2020 and 21, that would, because he was on a massive whack, that would create a nice big amount of room for the Western Bulldogs.
Yeah, it would, Jim, but again, and you're right to phrase it that way. I'm just answering your question. Yep. The issue is here, a 23-year-old who's deciding to retire because of what he's been subject to physically and mentally. So that's the story. But you're right. The go-ahead football angle on it is what happens with that money. And look, we have heard the AFL say that the money attached to Buddy Franklin will have to be included in the Swans' salary cap, whether he's actually physically receiving that money or not. It's part of their cap, right, in terms of the calculations around it. I can't imagine why that would be any different under this. But again, this story's just dropped only moments ago, and as we all will need to do now is just seek greater clarity around what that means as part of this story.
All right. Thanks for that, mate. Well done, we'll look forward to hearing you tomorrow night at the House of Judd.
Yeah.
We will too, yes. Need to bring the bottle of red along too.
Beautiful. Yep. You will. Well done. Thanks for that, Damo.
See you guys.
Chris Judd here with us. That is a sad story, because this is as well credentialed a kid to come out of the junior system into AFL footy as we've had for a long time, and to be finished at 23 is a sad thing.
Really sad story. Yeah, I've met Tom before, had a chat to him, found him really engaging, and loved watching him play too in that, 2016?
Oh, yeah.
Final series, and could have easily been awarded the Norm Smith medalist on the day in grand final day. Billy, not that that matters. He got his premiership medal, and they wouldn't have won that premiership without him. Mm. So, like you say, football's not the be-all and end-all. The main thing from here is you hope that football was causing some of his health issues, and without it, he's able to be much happier. I guess that's what we'd all hope for from here.
It's hard to understand, isn't it, how emotionally he is to actually retire at the age of 23 when you see all these kids just wanting to play footy and do all that. So I just don't understand it. And when you haven't got obviously depression and stuff like that, it's just so hard to understand. But you don't know what he's going through every day.
That's all players, I reckon, Juddy. That my 10 years at North, and now you're back in a board role, that's the thing that it really sharpened my focus, was the amount of, not abuse, but the amount of stick the modern player has to put up with people who have zero idea of what they're going through, hard it is.
Yeah, and I think people, footballers talk so much about mental health now. It comes up a lot in the industry, and I think there's some in the public that thinks it's all a bit wishy-washy.
Yeah,
and you see something like this, and it's real. Yeah, there are a lot of players walking around that are really unwell mentally, as there are in the wider community, but it's such a position that so many young men and women would dream of being in. It's hard to compute that they can be so unwell.
We've had this, I see it too often, I reckon, people who have got this view of, if you don't like the heat, get out of the kitchen, you're earning a fortune, it's your choice to play. That's just avoiding the real thing, that in 2019 this is a bloody hard game to play on the field, but equally hard when you're away from the game. Yeah.
And sometimes people will say, do the players even care, or they don't care enough? You know, when you're a player, and you know this, Bill, you've dreamed about being a footy player your whole life. Your whole identity is hung up on what happens on the weekend, and you feel sick, don't you? Yeah. When your team lose and you have a shocker, you feel absolutely sick. And in today's social media world, that feeling just follows you. So,
our thoughts are with Tom, and we hope he's in a good spot with it all. Now, speaking of a good spot, the Judd House
cave.
We're at Judd Corp.
Judd Corp.
So what is the corporate headquarters?
So we're not far from here. And tell us what happens.
Well, we'll be bringing in a good bottle of red. How we'll be bringing a red that's more suitable for your bolognese sauce. The rest of us will bring in a nice bottle of red. And we've got a very special guest tomorrow night.
Hello.
JB. In the industry, we call that a teaser, Bill. Hello. I won't give you the guest name now.
You're learning. You're learning.
Let me tell you, it is a big name.
Right.
Industry stalwart. and we'll just sit down. We'll do the show. It'll be a very professionally run show, as it always is on the Friday Huddle. And then I think we'll crack the Reds, let them air a little bit, JB, because they'll be
they'll
aged.
Need some air.
They'll be aged appropriately. Good,
except for Howie's. And Howie will be hosting.
And Howie will try and get out of there as quickly as possible. There's a bit of a push to mix up the hosting duties after my job last week, but we'll see.
Oh, no.
Juddy, great seeing you, mate. We'll look forward to that tomorrow night.
Thanks, guys.
6 o'clock tomorrow night.
We love this one. What the hell were your parents thinking? Kath's in Surrey Hills, Bill.
Hello, Kath.
Hey, boys. Hey, GB. Hey, Billy. Great topic. I always wondered what the parents were thinking. I went to school with a beautiful girl, primary school, and her name was Brick Gillard.
No way.
Brick.
As in something you build a house with.
Absolutely. She wore it. She was a gorgeous girl, and kids just accept the sounds they hear, so she was just Brick Gillard to us. Oh. But then later, You learn what a brick is, and you do wonder.
Kath, right, stay there. I like it. Johnny in Geelong, Bill.
Hey, Johnny.
G'day, boys. How you going?
What Good. Do you got, man?
Yeah, well, my name's John. My father's Donald. My grandfather's John. Great-grandfather Donald.
Yes.
But our last name is MacDonald.
In the great Donald MacDonald who played for North.
Yeah.
Precise. Well, not the same bloke, but yeah, that's
same
how we...
Name.
So your dad is Donald MacDonald.
That's right, yeah. So we got four boys, but the missus said we're not having any of that.
No, I don't blame her either, Johnny. Stay there, that's good. Jace in Ivanhoe. Hello, Jace.
G'day, fellas. Right. Yeah, we went to primary school with David Drinkwater, and we gave him that much. You know, David drink milk, David drink this, David drink that. When he got married, he changed his name to Alice. So his last name was David Alice.
And, oh, right.
What, Alice Drinkwater?
And then... No, his first name was David. Anyway, well, they've had four girls, and he's called one of them Ellie. And we were speaking the other day about it, me and mate were saying, Ellie, Alice, that's worse than David Drinkwater. She's going to get heaps at school, man. So we must have given him pretty much for him to change his name.
Oh, all right. Yeah.
It's like at Storm's called Drinkwater. He's out injured at the minute, but a very good player.
English soccer player as well, got done for drink driving.
Anthony, also in Geelong. Hello, Ant.
The Ant.
Jimmy.
What do you got for us?
Well,
yeah,
just a couple. Used to be an ex-supercar driver, Dougal McDougal.
I can't believe that.
Dougal McDougal. Yeah.
No, dead set. Used to sponsored by Pepsi.
Yes.
And NASCAR driver. Oh, he's been retired for a few years now. Dick Trickle.
Yes. Well, there was Cole Trickle, wasn't there, in the great movie. But I like that, Anthony. Well done. Stay on the line. Mark Montrose, Bill.
Yes, Marco, what do you got?
Yeah, g'day, boys. Love your show.
Good on you, Mark.
I've got a friend of mine, his name's Glenn Rose.
Yes.
And he married a woman whose name's Glenn and the middle name's Rose. So she's Glenn Rose Rose.
Yes.
Glenn Rose Rose.
All right, stay on the line. Johnny and Clyde. Hello, Johnny.
Hey, mate. How are you?
And we're talking about what were your parents thinking.
Wow, I'm a Johnny Johnson, or John Johnson.
You're christened John and your surname's Johnson?
Correct.
Do you ever say to mum and dad, what the hell?
Yeah, sometimes. The thing is, my mum calls me Johnny, so...
Johnny Johnson.
Is there another Johnson? Because you'd be Johnson and...
Johnson, yeah, baby powder. Yeah,
thanks for that, Bill. Yeah. Hey, there's a famous, is it jazzy or blues musician called Johnny Johnson, I reckon?
There's a few around, funny enough.
Not on his own. Stay there. Danelle in South Morang, Bill.
Danelle.
Hello, boys.
You are Danelle, are you?
I'm Danelle, yes. But my dad, God rest his soul, I was christened Danelle, born Danelle, was always known as Danelle, but when he registered my birth, he put an I in it.
Oh. So you are Danielle.
So Danielle, but known as Danelle. So thanks, Dad. Love you.
Good on you, Dad. Righto, stay there. Nick Packenham. Hello, Nick.
Not sure.
Hey, boys, how are you?
Good, man. What were your parents thinking?
Well, this probably wasn't what was his parents thinking, but I used to go to a doctor, and his name was Victor Bochter.
His name was Dr. Bochter.
100%.
That's too funny. That is too funny.
In the House of Bulger, what was the...
Oh, what, you should know.
Oh, there was a...
Joy
funny.
Bell.
Yeah.
And there was Hector the Detector.
Hector the Detector.
Sweetie.
Hector the Detector.
Ben from Brighton winds us up. Hello, Benny.
Jimmy, fat, how are you?
Yeah, good, Benny. What do you got?
Mate, well, I got two. I don't know what's wrong with my family. Got the Joneses on one side, and they named their daughter Indiana.
Oh.
And then I've got the Bowies on the other side, and they named their son Austin.
Austin Bauer.
Yes, I like it. Well, Bill, I have told you back in the cage days, we had this same topic, and a guy rang and he said that his sister was Sue Peters.
Yeah, Sue Peters. Yeah, yeah.
And she married Wayne Baru.
And?
So she became Sue Baru. Come on, Bill.
How good's that?
You can't have that.
Well, let us text through. Gerald Fitzgerald.
Yes, of course. That's the man that Sam couldn't remember when he was
playing his first
team.
Game when Sam was captain, went along.
That's it.
Kanye West and Kim Kardashian have named their, was a girl or boy called North? So it's Northwest.
Northwest, Bill.
Which is interesting. And a girl at Cobram knew her name was Ophelia. And you wouldn't believe what her surname was.
No, she's now doing some of his.
No, her name was Ophelia and her surname was Dick. Jim!
Who are we?
I can guarantee
who
that.
Who are we giving the prize to, please?
Me, because that's a good one.
Oh, no.
There's some good ones there,
Jim. Very good. I like Dr. Bokta.
Dr. Bokta.
Yeah, Nick from Pakenham, that's quality. Yeah, Nick, you've won this.
You won a double pass to the Triple M Comedy Night featuring Will Anderson, Limo, Adam Rosenbarks and Cal Wilson.
Thanks, boys.
Enjoy that, mate.
Anything else you want to give away?
Yeah, I like Ben from Brighton, Indiana Jones. That's beautiful. Get some Nina and Pasadena for you, Benny.
Thanks, boys.
Well done.
Thanks to Ryan, of course, who furnishes us with the beautiful Rhino. Nina and Pasadena's at Burp.
Now, Jim, before the ad break or the song then, I did say there was a girl in Cobram called Ophelia and her surname was Dick.
You did your stuff on stage.
No. Just so happens, David has rang from Cobram. G'day, David.
How we going, Billy?
Good. Now, can you confirm Ophelia's and her name?
Yes, Ophelia Dick, yeah.
Is she still in Cobram or did she get married?
She got married. She moved away, yeah.
Righto. Yeah. Good on you. You're a Cobram boy?
Yes, I am.
Good on you, mate.
That's it.
Great chatting. Good on you, Dave.
An investigative journalism there.
You thought I was being mischievous.
No, I didn't. I thought you were going with some of your onstage stuff.
No, it's true. I always speak the
truth. Which doesn't always work.
Ophelia Dick was her name, so there you go.
Thank you,
but
Bill.
She's moved on. She got married.
All right. Just talking about what the hell your parents were thinking before, Bill. A couple have been sent in. Gary
White.
And Phil Neville, by the way, and everyone would remember them. Famous players for Man U. Back in the day, their dad apparently is Neville.
No, surely not.
Well, I can't believe
it. And you know their sister is the coach of England in the World Cup netball. They're a very sporting family,
no
Jim.
No doubt about it, Bill.
What about Miranda Kerr's brother?
Yep.
Wayne? I don't know if it is. We should look that up.
True,
that's
Bill.
From Darren
You need Marks. To. That's a bit more of your stand-up routine.
Well, someone will ring in and confirm it again.
Apparently, there's
this is a good
NRR
ad, this.
Reckons there's an ad running around about Callum Murray. Which, if you say it quickly enough, sounds
Calamari.
Like Calamari.
It's a baby, and they were going to name it. And then it would have been good to read Stu Alexander's, but Abe's cut it off.
Oh, no. Come on, Abraham.
Come on, Abe.
What are we dealing with?
Tom Boyd has announced his retirement out at the Western Bulldogs, by the way. That happened in the first hour.
Yep.
That is sad news. Only 23, played 61 games and kicked 50 goals, and a premiership player. So.
And I didn't realise we were there for the game, but Nick Riewoldt has brought this to all of our attention. Apparently, because it was a Carlton home game, you were probably across this, Rabs.
Yeah.
While the Collingwood Footy Club were warming up, they played Eagle Rock.
Which?
Just to remind them of the fact that
grand
the Eagles
final,
beat them in the grand final.
Exactly right.
Did that actually happen?
Yeah. I remember walking out the MCC going, what's going on here?
Hmm. Oh, that's actually not bad.
No, it's not bad.
Oh, I'd take Matt off to that, Bill. I don't mind that. And I think if you're a Collingwood fan, you'd see the funny side of that, surely.
And
Bill.
Wayne Johnson is still going.
The Dominator.
They had a reunion back there Saturday, and he's still going,
still
apparently.
Rolling still rolling around on Thursday. Oh, he had trouble written all over him, Dom.
Oh, did.
In the lineup, the rest of them were doing as they were told. The Dom, whatever he likes.
Bruce Doole was there. Still got the mutton chops. Unbelievable.
I sat next to Bruce Doole at a president's thing once. In the long
No.
The long Carlton table. No, he did. I'll tell you what he did.
He sat down
and I was late because we were on air.
Yeah.
So I came charging in. Oh, Bruce, what a great pleasure it is to meet you and his wife. And he said, not happy with you. He goes, stealing Weighty.
Oh.
Because Jared Lowe had come over to play with us. And I've gone, sorry about that. Bruce, you've been bloody good for us, Bruce. And I noticed that. And then we sat there for another 45 minutes.
That was it.
Not another word, Bill.
Should have asked
but
him
I'll tell you what was funny.
About the streaker.
I'll tell you what was
when
funny.
When he grabbed her, Jim, he didn't like her.
we're all there, and as Carlton fan, Carlton show. So
George W. Bush.
Full as a boot, Bill. There'd have to be 600 people in this function. And then up gets Diesel.
Oh, yes.
To speak in a Q&A. Anyway, and I always thought Diesel didn't say much.
Oh, I know.
Bill.
He never used to.
Very funny.
Very funny.
And at the end of it, he goes, and I'll tell you what's great about tonight.
What?
600 people in the room. It's brilliant. We're all here for a Carlton North Melbourne game. And he said, I see the great Bruce Dool on the table down in front of me. And he goes, I tell you what Bruce loves. He loves all Carlton fans coming up and asking him for an autograph. He loves having photos. So whoever, just make a cue to the left and Bruce will look after it. Anyway,
oh, nice,
Bruce,
Diesel.
Bruce is just sitting there shaking his head. As soon as the speech is finished, there had to be 100 people, Bill. All lined up, the poor old flying doorman.
I like that.
That was the rest of his night bugging.
Oh,
we've got, just out of great respect for Tom Boyd.
Yeah.
And especially the 2016, great. Probably 6 to 8 weeks he put together, amazing.
Beautiful.
And then the grand final was sensational. And let's just send him off with something from the Briser.
Buddy tackled by Muller, dropping the ball. Boyd took the advantage and played on from inside the centre square. Boyd's kicked a goal. Boyd's kicked a goal from inside the centre. Boyd has kicked a goal.
He's just dropped an F bomb.
Hey, sometimes you can drop and it's fine, which we should play it as.
Middle of a grand final call, without any, it came.
It was a fantastic call. Great call.
Of course it was.
And at that moment, when he kicked that goal, it was from the square, as he said. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I reckon we got the feeling it was from the square.
Yeah, he's from the square. I should have let him swear.
Cam White, we're going to speak to next.
Cameron White on 99. He works it fine. He's going to get it. The grand old man of Victorian cricket gets his 22nd first-class century. Another three figures at the MCG.
Bill.
Yep.
Bill Laurie medal winner as the best player for Victoria during the season. 4 times the Dean Jones medal. Jeez. As Victoria's best one-day player of the season. Whitey, nice to see you.
Thanks, James.
Now, this isn't a goodbye to you, of course, because while you're not going to be playing for Victoria anymore, you are going to be playing somewhere in the BBL. We're just waiting to hear, but that's good.
Yeah, it is. I'm looking forward to that. Hopefully that all sort of sorts itself out in the next couple of days. But, finished up with Victoria. So, focusing on the BBL going forward now.
And 6 Sheffield Shield titles is an amazing thing. You must be very proud of that.
Yeah, and very lucky as well. I think over the journey, it helps Bill when you play with a couple of decent players. So you get to, your teammates, they're important and means you get to win a few games. Yes. So I was pretty lucky to play with some, Hodge and Elliot of the, of names in the past. And you win a couple, you get to win a couple of grand finals. So it was good, Jim.
And won one this year, of course, where James Pattinson was unbelievable, wasn't he?
Yeah, and very exciting to see James back, not only at that time for the Vics, but now heading towards the Ashes. I think he's just on we're trying to just get him to the line, Bill. We're just trying to make sure that, I'm sure the Australian hierarchy, just trying to make sure he's fit and firing at the right time. So I think he'll be just about first picked if they can get him there.
Well, we were watching it here live from the junction, but it was on the screens up here. And a couple of the New South Wales batsmen, especially the young blokes, Bill, the old pants were filling up.
They were.
They weren't liking what they were seeing from Big Puttor. No. He has got thicker.
He's big.
He's now like chest. I'm not saying he's carrying any weight. He's just big.
He's just big. And you just know, knowing the family a bit, his old man, Johnny, and his brother, Darren.
Big banjo.
Yeah, come from Doveton boys. You just know, Jim, that, and Bill, this. He could just send one without a bounce. You know what I mean? He's just, he could have that in him. Just so that's just in the back of your mind when you're facing him. You just know that, this bloke, I know he's good, he's big and he's bowling fast, but he could just want send one straight
at him. And you don't want that.
No, fast bowlers, but that's what you love about him, especially if he's bowling for Australia. Now, you've done well. Country boy from Bairnsdale, of course. Played his first game for Victoria, was it, when you were only 18?
17 or 18, Bill, yeah.
It's a good effort. And then, but you were picked as a leg spinning all rounder.
Oh, hello.
I just had to have a look at that. A leg spinning all rounder, weren't you?
Yeah, that's right, Bill. A long time ago when I started my career, I got a game as a leggy, basically. Yeah. I think I batted 9 or 8 or 9 in my first game. And then eventually, as you know, I learnt to play the game a bit better and learnt my batting was sort of catching up to my bowling, and eventually probably, I took over there sort of in my sort of mid-20s. So, and I was able to get a game, a bit higher up and up the order, and eventually found myself in the Australian team. So it was eventually my batting that sort of took over and sort of played, the big part in my career.
Even when you were captain for a long time, you didn't bowl yourself enough.
Yeah, a lot of people have asked me about this, Bill, but when you lose, I lost a bit of confidence in my bowling. So even though people would say, you know, just go out and bowl, but it wasn't that simple. If you weren't that confident in what you were doing, I guess it'd be like having a set shot for goal, except you can't really handball it off, can you? But or get someone else to bowl it for you. But I didn't have the confidence just to go and bowl, so it wasn't that sort of, you know, simple just to bowl myself more. Yeah. So, you know, we're still trying to win games and I didn't want to let the team down. So, Fair enough. You lose a bit of confidence, you sort of, you know, and your captain, it's pretty easy not to pull yourself. Well,
Steve Smith started as a leg spinner and became a decent batsman, so it's not a bad way to go about it. Four tests for Australia against India in India. That must have been nuts. But is there...
It should be more.
You can't ever regret playing for your country. It must have been an amazing thing. But you would have loved to have played one, I imagine, in Australia.
Yeah, it would have been nice. And
you went pretty close.
Yeah, pretty close a couple of times. But those test matches, you know, at the middle stage of my career, were actually played as a bowler. So, and that, coincidentally, Bill, was probably the time when my bowling, you know, wasn't at my most confident. So it took me a while to sort of get back once I finished those four test matches to find a bit of confidence even at, you know, domestic level playing for Victoria. So, but then after, it would have been, you know, great, James, to play a test match in Australia, but I was very lucky to play nearly 100 games across a few other formats. So
91 one day internationals.
Played, you know, a couple of 2020 World Cups, won a Champions Trophy in South Africa, played alongside, you know, when I first started playing, some of the great sort of players to play for Australia, Ricky Ponting, Matthew Hayden and Gilchrist. So I was very lucky to even, you know, sit in the same dressing room as those blokes.
Well, interesting you mention those blokes, because Bill was floating the question the other day, who is Australia's best one-day cricketer of all time? And I was of the opinion that it was Ricky Ponting and daylight second. Your thoughts?
Geez, you've just hit me with this. Well, I've been sitting here for 10 minutes, James. You could have given me a bit of warning.
You reminded me of it.
Well, there's Hussey have thrown up. It's not Mike. I'm taking it off the iPad, by the way.
One bloke that used to cop a lot of criticism from the public, who I could never understand, was Shane Watson. Has a unbelievable sort of one-day
bank
record
balance.
Bill, but his record as an all-rounder, which we're, you know, we've been crying out for ever since he's probably left the Australian team, I think is, you know, it's probably, I'm not sure if he's the best ever, but punter, it's probably hard to go past him.
But we'll just tease it over the break. So have a think, and if you can come up with someone, it might be Shane Watson.
Nice,
we'll get
tease
back to it after this.
Cam White's in the studio.
We did set him a task, Australia's greatest ever one-day international cricket. Are you sticking with Shane Watson if it's not punter?
Yeah, let's just go with those two. That'll do me.
This is cricket.
You can't get it wrong.
This is cricket.com.au. They're trying to find the best one-day player. So they started with Gilchrist, Lilly. Gilchrist got through.
Yep.
Jones, Waugh. Mark Waugh got through. Shane Warne.
That's a big call, because Dean Jones was a phenomenal one.
Dean would be spewing on that.
He wouldn't be happy.
Shane Warne, Greg Chappell. Shane Warne got through.
He was amazing.
And McGrath and Simons. And that's about to be announced, actually.
Simons?
Hasn't been announced yet.
What
but
you
say Simons?
I think so.
Yeah. And then out of those, so Shane Warne was a...
Yeah, amazing. Because the thing I loved about him, Bear, is he bowled exactly the same in one-day cricket as he bowled in Test cricket, and I still couldn't score off him.
Yeah, that's right. I still, every now and again, especially on social media, you see the highlights of the King come up and, you know, spinning away. So that was at the semi-final versus South Africa when we didn't, I think we only got just over 200, and when you get 4 for 30 or something, spun us to victory in that game. But yeah, that game
still
in particular.
Still lots of loop. Yeah. He wasn't firing him in or anything. He bowled exactly the same.
No, darting him in at leg stump.
Jim. Yeah, go on.
There's Michael Bevan, Matthew Hayden. They haven't announced that yet. Brett Lee, Shane Watson. Brett Lee got the nod there.
Yeah, so that counts out Watson.
Steve Waugh, Mike Hussey. Mike Hussey got the nod there.
Yes.
And Ricky Ponting and Mitchell Starc, Ricky Ponting there. So interesting. Ooh.
Well, all that shows you is we've had some unbelievable players. So your time in first class cricket, Bear, who, when you played against them, did you used to look at and go, "Jeez, I don't know what we're going to do to get this bloke out"?
One name that just come up there that played a lot, you know, during that sort of period when he was just out of the Australian team, Michael Bevan. I think he still holds the record for the most amount of runs in a season. I think he played at Tassie after he finished up with New South Wales. I think he made 1,600 runs in 10 games 1 year. So I remember actually dropped him a couple of times down at Balreve, and he made, you know, 100, might have got 100 in both digs, Bill. So, at certain times I thought, you know, there's just no way we can get this bloke out. So he was a reasonable player.
What about the bowling? He was sharp, and they whistle past years.
Yeah, early days especially. There was a few quickies going around. Brad Williams played a little bit for WA.
Yeah.
He was very, very quick when he got, you know, he was from Victoria originally, so he had the shits on with us for a while. So he tried to kill us every time we played. So, he was pretty sharp. But there was a few getting around. There still is.
Brett Lee.
You've been down to John Hastings' little cafe in Frankston?
Yeah, Mr. Frankie, yeah. Bill. I haven't yet, but hey, so yeah, well done to him, I reckon. Yeah. He's just, you know, had a bit of a crack at opening up and getting into something else. So yeah, down in, I think he's at Mornington or Frankston.
Frankston South.
Yeah. So I think he's only been open a week or two, but yeah, we'll definitely get down there for test out his coffee soon.
Had any local clubs ring you up and say, can you come and play with us, Bear?
Oh, look, I do a bit of fishing down at Sorrento, actually. So Sorrento Cricket Club might be just sniffing around. But I think just with my time at the, obviously, hopefully in BBL, and then probably stick to a bit of club cricket or Premier Cricket in Melbourne as well.
Which is your Premier Club, by the way?
The Melbourne Cricket Club.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Just the Albert Ground there.
Yeah, lovely facilities down there.
Very nice. Now, so let's turn our focus onto the World Cup, because that's about to start. What do you think about Australia's chances in this tournament, given that we've won it five times?
Yeah, well, based on that, we're probably a good chance. But I think the interesting thing for us might be just later on in the tournament, how we might look to get our second spinner into our starting 11, I think. So we've got Alex Carey batting in the low to middle order there. So would probably mean that we, as you know, the wicket keeper. So to fit the second spinner in, we might just have to bump him up an extra spot or two, which is going to be a terribly difficult call to leave a batsman out to maybe get the second spinner.
Why do you think we need the second spinner?
Who's that, Zampa, is it?
I think Zampa would be the number one spinner, and then we've got, I think, Nathan Lyons in the squad as well. Yep. So later on in the tournaments in England, especially as it gets sort of later in the county season, the wickets can get quite slow and dry, and they spin a bit. So our attack is, you know, it's pretty much faster and fast. Pretty all right arms, obviously, except for Mitchell Starc. So just give us the variety to have something different. On the flip side, they might decide that we put all our faith in Glenn Maxwell to bowl our off spin as well, which would then give us the two, you know, the batting depth built and, you know, the
it's
spinning options.
It's good to listen to someone who knows his cricket, unlike you.
Shut up, Phil. Are you Finch and Warner Khawaja-Smith? Is that how you?
That sounds pretty good to me, I think. Yep.
Because a lot of people are saying Khawaja hasn't done anything wrong, leaving where he is. He can happily bat at three. Wouldn't bother him at all.
I think so.
They were good, but they. I don't know enough about it, but
well,
I just love the way that...
let Cam answer it then.
I definitely wouldn't be moving Finchie. I think Finchie's got to stay open, but if I think Khawaja and Warner are the two that can, they can either open or bat three. I don't think, you know, David Warner in IPL years has gone by, has batted sort of in different positions as well. So I think he also has the flexibility to bat at three. So they're both left-handers. I don't think it'll upset the, you know, Finchie too much, whether he bats with Khawaja or...
Who's our biggest threat?
Well, the Poms are absolutely smashing them everywhere.
Yeah, they can choke as hard as anyone. They and South Africa in this tournament have embarrassed themselves with gas sucking. So that's my worry about them. What about India?
Yeah, well, given what I've just said about the wickets being sort of maybe spin friendly later on in the tournament, you throw in a couple of, you know, exceptional batsmen that they do have. Some really good fast bowlers as well. So they're probably got to start favourites in the whole thing, I'd imagine. So they've got to be pretty dangerous.
West Indies. Remember the name. Never heard his name ever since.
Carlos Brathwaite.
Yeah, since he smashed that.
More T20 with them, Bill. The longer the game gets, the worse they get.
A couple of things. You love your fishing. You're a big fisherman, aren't you?
Oh, I try to, when I get a day off here or there, Bill, I try to get into my fishing. So,
new catch craft?
Eden Craft is the vessel of my choice. Gets me around Port Phillip Bay and out in Bass Strait pretty safely, Bill. So,
who do you go fishing with?
A few of my mates. I'll go, I think me and Johnny Holland are going to go for a left arm spinner for Victoria. Yeah, going to go for a bit of a fish tomorrow. Weather's nice, as you can see outside here, Bill. So,
And still married to the lovely Jack?
Yep. Jackie and kids? Two tin lids now.
Boys?
Two girls, actually. Hazel and Charlotte. So nice Charlotte names. 4, Hazel 1. So
I don't know if you follow me on it, James Brayshaw or Robert, but if you do, you'll see the snapper I pulled out. I'm going to show it to you.
No.
Yeah, I tell you. There never been a bigger snapper pulled out of Port Phillip Bay. It's enormous.
No,
Bill.
Jim, you wouldn't have caught it.
I bloody did.
You got seasick when you went out in the
me
heads.
And Rexy's young bloke. Hey, well done, Whitey. You've been an absolute star. Six-time Sheffield Shield winner is extraordinary.
And we'll continue, Jimmy.
And
you're
going to play BBL, and we're going to hear shortly where that's going to be, and we're excited for you to do that too. Good to see you, mate.
Thanks, boys. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, well done. All the best to Cameron White. What a lovely fella he is, Jimmy boy.
Well done.
Good luck and a good career. Average 40.4.
Anyone that can do that. Sheffield Shield cricket.
Hey, Jimmy boy, this caught my eye.
So I
thought I'd bring it to the people, to the Rush Hour family, and they can ring in and give us their take on it. But this is interesting, Jim.
Right.
Old man drives scooter down the freeway.
In the afternoon peak, a mobility scooter cruises down the Monash. After skipping traffic on the Blackburn Road on-ramp, this 92-year-old isn't stopping for anything.
Move over, mate. Move over. You're on the freeway. Move over. You're not supposed to be on the freeway.
Now, that's a poor bloke trying to help him out. This bloke got on the freeway, come out
on
of Blackburn.
On a mobility scooter.
On a mobility scooter, Jim. And he's going along in the left-hand lane.
Oh, no.
The man refused to stop because concerned drivers were trying to get him off the road.
That's it.
And that bloke there drove up next to him and said, mate, you've got to get off. You're on the freeway, you flog.
That's it.
I didn't say flog. And he told him to go and get.
Yeah, he did.
He did. So and then he drove behind him and helped him out, which was very well done.
Nicely done.
So I like this story, Jim. So I put my heads together and I said, Hence, 133353.
Where's this going?
When have you driven your scooter down the Monash Freeway? Unusual!
Bill.
Jim.
Bill.
When have you driven your scooter down the Monash Freeway? Unusual,
you
Jim.
That can't be your phone topic.
That's the topic. 133353, ring now.
There will not be a person who will ring.
I know it's a little niche. But we only need five or six. We only need five or six.
Fat.
What?
Well, in fact, I tell a lie. Oh. One person has rung.
I told
Jim.
Pick
up one person. Pick up that, please, Rabs. Mm-hmm. Right. Hello.
Hello. JB, I don't know how you put up with this moron. Fair dinkum. It's Todd from Barwon Head.
Oh! And you flog.
This topic just proves the idiot that you've got sitting next to you, JB.
Yep.
You finally lost it. Fat. The lights from that dump of a stadium have soaked into your bald head and they've fried your brain. Do you know what percentage of the population drives a mobility scooter, Bill?
How many?
It'd be less than 0.1. You're an absolute moron and I hope the doggies get up this weekend. You've absolutely lost it.
Oh, Todd's back. Where have you been, Todd?
He's hung up.
He hasn't.
He's gone.
I wonder where he's been. Haven't heard from him for a while. Is that all the callers? Oh. Surely not.
That can't be
right. There's 10 callers.
What the hell? Oh, no.
Surely they haven't been on a scooter
surely
down
no
the Monash.
Surely no one's ridden a motor scooter down the Monash. That is unbelievable. Have a go at them.
I know.
Oh,
should we
ridiculous.
Take some?
No. I don't think so, because we need to speak next. Oh. I love the fact that Todd's back, though.
Oh, Todd, yeah. Where's he been?
Dr. Martin Rice next.
Ricey.
Now, what? Bill, we don't do this very often, but we're straightening up.
Yeah.
And we're straightening up on climate change.
Mm.
And I'll tell you why.
Why?
Because this is being built up as the climate election. Of course, we've got the election coming up on the weekend.
Yep.
Some people will tell you it's a beat up, that it's nowhere near the most threatening thing to our planet. And then others will tell you that we are fast approaching Armageddon on the back of not taking climate change seriously. So we've got Dr. Martin Rice on to answer this question for us. Dr. Martin Rice, welcome to you.
Hi, James and Billy.
Very nice of you to come on. Thank you for that. So what is there scaremongering around this thing, or is it legitimately the most pressing issue we've got as a planet?
There's no doubt it is the most pressing, urgent threat that we're facing. So just have a look at what we're experiencing here in Australia. Australia's very much in the front line. So we're seeing more devastating heat waves and bushfires, drought conditions and storm surges. It's, the country's getting slammed big time. And I know you love your sport. So sport's been affected greatly in Australia. So we've already seen heat wave conditions at the Australian Tennis Open. Mm. We've had disruption with the Tour Down Under cycling.
Yep.
And of course, the social fabric of many rural and regional communities it revolves around sport. You can't play sport in heat waves, drought conditions. And so these impacts really are upon us and they're really urgent.
So, Martin, what would you say to people who, you know, the old timers who would say, it's been bloody hot ever since I've lived here and I'm in my 80s and we've had heat waves and bushfires and drought all of my life. So why is it more now than ever? What would you say to them?
Yeah, well, sadly, climate change is accelerating and it's running away from us. So we are seeing much more severe, more intense heat waves. It's true, we have Australia is a land of drought and flooding rains, but they're becoming much more intense and severe. So, for example, we got the emergency and fire chiefs on board, and they really sent a strong commitment asking the Prime Minister and the federal government to actually tackle climate change effectively. So when you look at the federal government's performance, so you may have picked up on my Scott as an accent, from the accent. And, you know, I love football, and it's really painful to watch your national football team. We're absolutely rubbish. Now, if you were to look at the federal government here in Australia's climate performance, it's dire. It's absolutely dire. In fact, it's the biggest policy failure we've faced the past decade. Mm. It's the federal government seriously letting down Australians with its failure to act on climate change. So we've seen young kids take to the streets. We've seen the elderly angered. There's been surveys this week, and you know, over 81% of the Australian voters, they want action on climate change. They understand it's happening now.
Yeah. Hey, sounds like Mrs. Doubtfire. We've got Martin Rice on here, a doctor, of course.
Yeah, thank you.
Now, I read, I did a bit of research there, Marty, and I read that the Earth has warmed by an average of 1 degree in the last century. Now, that doesn't sound like much, but that is a lot.
Yeah, well, that's right. With that 1 degree, as I say, here in Australia, we really have seen devastating consequences. So just ask the farmers that are in the drought conditions. That's what we see from 1 degree Celsius.
Yeah.
Just look at the tour dive operators and the tourism industry in Queensland from the devastating bleaching on the Great Barrier Reef. That's 1 degree Celsius. Yeah. Just ask the firefighters and emergency services that are dealing with heat waves and bushfires. That's 1 degree. Look on our pathway with the current federal government and their climate policies, which are not credible whatsoever, not based on the science, we're hurtling towards a 3 degree world. So that really is devastating.
So, Martin, tell us this. What, are we going to stop driving diesel cars? What's the answer? How do we actually approach this properly?
Yeah, well, that's a really exciting thing. There's so many opportunities. In fact, you know, when you look at in Victoria and South Australia and the ACT, these places are really ramping up renewable storage technologies. There are some of the major parties, the ALP and the Greens, have got strong electric vehicle policies to ramp up. So there are really exciting opportunities. And look, Australia, you know, they're known for being sporting legends and world champions.
Yes.
And Australia really has a fantastic opportunity as we decarbonize the economy to be a world leader when it comes to clean technologies. So it's a, you know, the impacts are hitting us hard, but we really have a fundamental and a really exciting opportunity to tackle climate change and reap the benefit.
All right, Martin. Well, thank you very much for coming on. We appreciate you clearing it up a touch ahead of the election.
No problem.
Good on you, mate.
Bill.
Yes.
We need to address something after this. That's the most disgraceful.
What?
It might be the most disgraceful thing you've ever done. So we're going to get to a little break, and then we're going to address it on air next.
Do you think it was?
We get a world expert on climate change to ring this station and tell us about the dangers, and you say this to him.
Sounds like Mrs. Doubtfire. We've got Martin Rice on here, a doctor, of course. Head of research, Jim.
After you say to him that he sounds like Mrs. Doubtfire, you then call him Marty.
Well,
what do you think, he's Marty McFly or something? Just dropped in from Back to the Future.
Well,
what is wrong with you,
Dr.
Bill?
Dr. Martin Rice, and he wanted to be casual. And
so Marty.
Marty.
And he sounds like Mrs. Doubtfire.
He does. Well, he did. You have a listen to Mrs. Doubtfire, Jim. Have a listen.
This is my nightly meringue mask, part of my beauty regimen. What it is basically egg whites, creme fraiche, powdered sugar, vanilla, and a little touch of alum.
So it sounds nothing like him.
No, when you do that, comparison.
Comparison.
Okay. Poor old
Maddie. But write that down, please.
I'll be voting this week,
Bill,
and a lot will have to do with climate change, Jim. A lot of it will have to do with that.
Tomorrow, Bernie Vince, Bernard,
Bernard
in here. Plus your last opportunity to enter Bill's massive ball. Brag artist.
Marty
Ross. Friday. And then we have an idiot file part. This won't surprise
you. Haven't.
Certainly won't surprise Dr. Martin Rice. An idiot file part 1 and 2.
Surely not.
Bill.
Hey, Jim. And all the best, by the way, to Tom Boyd. Premiership player. Worth every cent to get him there at the Doggies. Only 4 players have been drafted number one and played in premierships.
Mate, we've got no time.
Do you know who they are?
No.
Yes, Des Hedlund, Tom Boyd. In the day with a laugh. This is Billy's joke.
Let's face it. If your socks are knocked off by Billy's joke, time for new socks. All day socks by Underworks.
Underworks,
nothing
they're
knocks
the best.
These socks off.
Jocks and socks. Underworks.
On, get on with it.
My 8-year-old daughter Jim had to come into work with me. You might remember this because it was take your kid to work day.
Right.
5 minutes in here at Triple M, she started crying and chucking a tantrum. I asked her what is wrong. As I remember you, Jim, and Rabs gathered around, she sobbed loudly, Daddy, where are all the clowns you said you work with?
Oh, no.
She thought, where are all the clowns?
Oh, no, we got a real pox fest.
That's not
look,
bad.
Look at Mick. Mick's just waving it off. He just can't have that.
Colonel.
We can't have that sort of garbage on this station.
Well, Gaddafi.
Especially as a lead-in to the dominant drive show in this market.
Well, they've got about 900,000 listening to them now. It's dropped to about 600. But, Gaddafi.
Acker on the front bar.
Dr. Sam Marty Rice.
Tonight. Oh, poor old Marty. Come on, Marty.
Mazda. Get an end of financial year bonus on Mazda BT50.